Two big important stories happening across the globe. We're going to have an update on what's going on in Kyrgyzstan, which appears to have lost its government, and there's a continuing unrest there. But first, the global cameras are rolling in Prague right now. President Obama will ratify within the next few minutes the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, better known as the New START Treaty. According to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, the treaty, which seeks to dramatically cap the number of nuclear arms in the world, beginning with the U.S. and Russia's, is of vital importance.
Given al-Qaeda's continued quest for nuclear weapons, Iran's ongoing nuclear efforts, and North Korea's proliferation, this focus is appropriate and indeed essential, an essential change from previous reviews.
We welcome back to the program now Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He was the former assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration, working, it's probably fair to say, at one of the peaks of nuclear tensions in the world. Lawrence Korb, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's take a look at this model that Defense Secretary Robert Gates suggests is at work here, that by reducing significantly the number of U.S. and Russian warheads, it becomes a model for the reduction of proliferation in other more troubled places around the world. Are you buying that?
Well, I think what's important is under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which people agree not to develop nuclear weapons, the major powers had to agree to begin reducing theirs. And we really do not have a formal treaty now that, does that, because the previous agreement expired in December. And there are reductions. I don't think they're as significant as Secretary Gates is talking about, because both parties were right about those numbers. Anyway, but I think it is symbolic, and hopefully it's a first step to further reductions.
Does it have any meaning to the North Koreans or the Iranians or non-signatories of the Non-Proliferation Treaty?
No, it doesn't. I mean, what it does, though, is it does have meaning with other nations which we're trying to get to cooperate with us in putting pressure on the North Koreans and Iranians not to develop their nuclear capabilities further.
What complications could the Senate bring to this happy-faced event going on in Prague right now?
Well, you're going to need at least 8 Republicans, and you got some Republicans who just don't want to give, Obama credit for anything. But you're going to get others who are not happy with the fact that the Nuclear Posture Review, which just came out, basically changed somewhat the circumstances in which the United States would use nuclear weapons. And I think they may use that as a pretext for voting against it. You know, for example, we said we would not use nuclear weapons against a country that signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty and was agreeing to the things that it talks about. If they were to use chemical or biological weapons against us, we wouldn't retaliate with nuclear weapons.
And, of course, one of the complications there, Iran is actually a signatory of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So, the question of proliferation is very different from what's being signed in Prague. Larry Korb, thanks so much for being with us. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and former Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. As we mentioned, in Prague right now, the ratification of the new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty expected within the next few minutes or so.
One government topples, another rises in Kyrgyzstan. This is what happened yesterday. Thousands of protesters, some of them armed, attacked local governments across the country in Kyrgyzstan. 68 people are dead in the uprising. The president fled the capital, and an opposition coalition proclaimed today they'll run an interim government for the next 6 months. President Obama's worked hard to maintain a good relationship with the former president, now former president of Kyrgyzstan. What's going to happen going forward? We are joined now by Alexander Cooley. He's a political scientist at Columbia University's Harriman Institute, where he's been following what's going on. So this is indeed a coup, Alexander?
This is a coup. It's certainly a change of government, but I think the similarities between this time and last time, 5 years ago, are also worth noting. The Tulip Revolution really failed to achieve its democratic promise, and instead, under President Pekiev, the country became more authoritarian, more corrupt, and almost transformed itself in a type of kind of criminal syndicate. where Bakiyev and a lot of his family members and cronies were kind of milking every money-making asset. So there was real dissatisfaction with this kind of state of criminal affairs, and you saw what can happen when a government is so illegitimate that the security services don't protect it, don't go to the mat for it, and it just crumbles like a house of cards.
Well, the opposition dissolved the parliament. They've said they're going to change election law. They swiftly gathered up the reins of government. Rosa Otunbayeva has taken charge of the government. What do we know about her?
Yeah, so Rosa Otunbayeva was actually one of the architects of the previous Tulip Revolution 5 years ago, and she quickly fell out of favor with Bakiyev, criticized him for not implementing constitutional reforms in time. She actually is a former U.S. ambassador, or Kyrgyz ambassador to the United States, also a former ambassador to the United Kingdom, and was a foreign minister at quite a young age. So she's very good on diplomacy. She is a good face for the Kyrgyz to have on this interim government. The question is she going to actually be in power in 6 months' time, or is there going to be some lobbying behind the scenes between various power elements who will then seek to attack?
The other question, Alexander, is what happens with the U.S. American air base there from which they airlift supplies to Afghanistan?
In terms of operations, I don't anticipate any disruptions. However, you are going to have some legal arrangements from the base, things like service contracts, base-related payments that I think the Kyrgyz are going to want to examine to see if they had any kind of ties to the previous regime.
Alexander Cooley is a political scientist at Columbia University's Harriman Institute. Coming up, we go into the era of electric cars. Is more technology actually making our vehicles safer or not? Talk about it in a few minutes.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.